critical web accessibility tips. Welcome to WebAx, podcast number 56, the 2-year anniversary. This is Dennis, your host, and as I just mentioned, it's been 2 years now, September, that I started the WebAx podcast, Practical Web Accessibility Tips. And it's been quite an experience. I've met a lot of people. I had the opportunity to interview some fairly significant folks in the web community, which was nice. I received some really nice emails from people saying how the podcast has helped them in their work, which has been fulfilling to me. And doing the podcast also helps me, in my profession, keeps me on the edge and in the community and just learning more, just always learning about different coding techniques and, web accessibility and standards compliance and all that stuff. And it can be fun, too. So I've enjoyed doing it. So, for this special anniversary episode, I asked a few folks out there, what they thought in the last year, what are some significant events or just trends going on in the industry, and I got quite a variety of responses. So we're going to hear from Mark McKay of SpokenText.net, Joel Dulson, Jared Smith of WebAIM, and Patrick Lauke, Roger Johansson, and my co-host, Ross Johnson. So let's get started. Here's Mark McKay.
Mark McKay here from the SpokenText.net. The big techniques and trends that I see going on in the industry that are really, I'm seeing a lot in my daily work are the ideas of progressive enhancement, hijacks, and making AJAX applications as accessible as possible. One of my things that I really think we should always remember is that it's about tasks, and so it's not necessarily about giving everyone this exact same experience, and we want to do that wherever possible, but it's really about supporting tasks. Why remove some really nice, visually dynamic features just because they're not supported by screen readers? You're really cutting out, most of the world. The number of people using screen readers is actually quite small. We want to support them. We want to make sure that they can get their tasks done. But we can't dumb everything down to the lowest level. We might as well just be using Lynx browsers. We really need to find that balance. But at the end of the day, it's all about tasks. And supporting people's tasks to make sure they can get it done, whether it's filling out a banking form or adding their pictures to Flickr. It's all about tasks and equality at the task level. That's it for me. Keep listening to WebAx, right, the best podcast on accessibility going on the web today.
The fact that using progressive enhancement is a great idea, and making sure that the users can get their tasks complete, no matter at what level the user interface is at, just make sure it's functional and using progressive enhancement to enhance the user experience. Okay, let's move on. Joe Dulson.
Hello, this is Joe Dulson of Joe Dulson Accessible Web Design, blogging at http://joedulson.com/articles. Thanks to WebAx, and congratulations on your 2-year anniversary. Podcasting is definitely a major commitment, as I can tell based on how long it took me to get it together to record this tiny little blurb. At any rate, Dennis and Ross have asked for a quick clip on web accessibility through a year. I'm taking that to mean the last 12 months rather than the calendar year, so here goes. Obviously, the biggest news of the year is probably the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines version 2. So I'm going to skip them. They've been, you know, talked to death. It's not that big of a deal. Don't need to swell their ego. But in other news, Joe Clark, accessibility curmudgeon slash guru, announced his retirement from web accessibility, and that was somewhat of a surprise, but not entirely. He'd been focusing on a lot of other things. Starting in September of last year, Mike Davies published his very notable series of articles, Accessibility in Trouble, which has spawned a pretty long-standing debate on the nature and needs of accessibility versus universality. And that's been pretty interesting. And I guess Amazon.com established an agreement with the National Federation of the Blind to, quote, promote and improve technology that enables blind people to access and use the World Wide Web. And that is a mixed thing, I'm sure. I wouldn't bet on it. We'll see what that amounts to in the end. Well, that's my quick take. I've gone well over my time limit. So thanks, WebEx, and have a great couple more years.
Thank you, Joe. I like the little piano music he's added into the background there. Don't you? Anyhow, yeah, he hit on several very good news items and events over the last year, so thanks again, Joe. And now I am going to read some feedback from Jared Smith. Actually, I'm not just going to read it, I'm going to more like highlight it. Jared was kind enough to supply a good list of issues or happenings that that he thought of over the last that happened over the last year or so, and the first one he mentions the dramatic improvements to WCAG 2.0, which is an obvious first listing that hopefully everyone is aware of by now. He also mentions a good one that I don't think anyone else mentioned, and that is HTML5 working groups. Ignorance of and or apathy toward accessibility. In other words, save the alt attribute. And apparently right now in HTML5 the idea is to get rid of the alt attribute, and that's a whole other story, but I'd have to agree with Jared on that one, that probably need to keep it, at least for this version. Let's see, another thing he mentions is Ajax / Web 2.0 becoming more mainstream, but folks are actually making it accessible instead of just talking about it. The increasing popularity of Firefox and the proliferation of accessibility and development extensions. That is definitely true. Lots of good extensions and development products out there, and even IE7 has a real good new developer toolbar. Let's see, let's go through the increasing awareness of cognitive disabilities and the fact that we know almost nothing about how to address this audience. And that's a good one too. I believe WCAG 2.0 doesn't have the cognitive part of WCAG 2.0 isn't any different than the old version, and even the WCAG Samurai did not attempt to address this issue. So it is a big issue still remaining. Let's see, Jared also says the Target lawsuit disappearing, then the NFB, National Federation of the Blind, announcing a partnership with Amazon.com to do virtually nothing. Hooray for accessibility. So, yeah, that whole thing is just a mess, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully, the NFB will come through with a big victory in the end. So, his next, last one, WCAG Samurai being released, and everyone saying, huh? Immediately followed by Joe Clark's retiring from web accessibility. Yeah, that's an odd one. I still don't get that retiring bit. To me, it doesn't seem like he's retired. The WCAG Samurai, I don't know if his last big input into the web accessibility world, but if you listen to this podcast, you know that Ross and I did a good analysis of it very recently, and we think very highly of it. So hopefully Joe Clark, you know, you remain active in the web accessibility community. Okay, Jared, thanks for that list. It was very good, and keep it coming. Next, we are going to hear a clip from the esteemed Patrick Lauke.
Hi, this is Patrick Lauke for WebAx. For me, the most significant development over the last year has been the way in which accessibility discourse in general has widened beyond the narrow confines of WCAG 1. Although for very simple sites, WCAG 1 is still quite valid, it's ill-equipped, really, to deal with the reality of today's web. Rich internet applications, flash sites, complex JavaScript and AJAX, even widespread use of PDFs. As a developer, if you're just sticking with WCAG 1, most of those are simply out of the question. It's true that in most situations, you should really try to offer simple HTML, CSS-based alternatives, but it's not an either-or proposition anymore. For instance, it's not purely a case of having a non-JavaScript accessible version of your site, since screen reader users don't necessarily have JavaScript disabled by default. And in fact, judicious use of JavaScript can enhance the usability and accessibility of a site, even for these users, if it's done properly. I'd say that the development of technologies such as ARIA plays a key role here. As more and more browsers and assistive technologies take advantage of ARIA, we'll hopefully see some of the major problems that JavaScript and AJAX can cause for particularly screen reader users being mitigated or maybe even completely eliminated. Underpinning all of these developments, I would say that WCAG 2's tech-agnostic, results-driven approach, which ditches the only use W3C technologies dictum in favor of accessibility-supported technologies, holds great promise. It can provide a solid, extensible framework that's valid today and in the future. Based on the latest draft, I'd say that WCAG 2 is indeed moving in the right direction, so my wish for this coming year is to see a stable version of the new guidelines, and to really help web authors understand how WCAG 2 can be applied in practice, I also hope that the technology-specific, non-normative supporting documents for WCAG 2 will get some much-needed attention, really, as that's what most web authors will need and refer to in their practical day-to-day work. And with that out of the way, I just want to say congratulations on your two-year anniversary, and keep up the good work. Cheers.
Wow, does that guy know his stuff or what? And I really like his voice, too. It's got that deep, you know, English accent going. So, thank you very much, Patrick. That was some great input. Next, Roger Johansson. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to supply an audio clip, so I will read it like I did, or go over it like I did with Jared's. So, Roger says, so far in 2007, I think two rather significant events in web accessibility are the update of the WCAG 2.0 working draft and the WCAG Samurai errata. I guess most WebAx regulars will be familiar with both of these, especially WCAG Samurai, which was discussed in a recent podcast. I also think the new W3C HTML working group is significant. Accessibility is one of the fundamental features of HTML and should remain so in HTML5. In the end, I believe it will, but at the moment there is some tension between people who work with accessibility on a daily basis and those who write the HTML5 draft. I hope and think things will sort themselves out eventually, but I recommend anyone who is interested in web accessibility to keep an eye on the development. Read the draft specification and don't hesitate to speak up if you have input that can help improve accessibility of HTML5. The best way of doing that would be to join the HTML working group, which is open to anyone. You do not have to be a W3C member, and it doesn't cost you anything, other than time, of course. It's also encouraging to see more designers and developers take an interest in accessibility. We're still hugely outnumbered, though, so take every chance you get to explain accessibility to fellow designers and developers. And that is very true. Thank you, Roger Johansson, for that input. Yeah, I mean, WCAG 2.0, WCAG Samurai, HTML5, those look like they're coming to be the big highlights of the year. And yeah, but that is a very good reminder for everyone out there to remind your fellow coworkers about accessibility and why we do what we do, and explaining how we do what we do. And yeah, check out that HTML5 working group. I'll put a link to that on the WebEx podcast entry on the blog. Okay, so let's see. Last but not least, we have more on the lighter side, an audio clip from my co-host, Ross.
Hello, everyone. It's Ross, co-host and owner of 3.7 Designs, co-host of WebEx, that is. So it is the anniversary episode, and I'm recording this for Dennis, and he wanted me to say something about it. So I just kind of wanted to say that a lot of people ask me what WebEx is exactly. A lot of friends and family who aren't in the web design industry, and seems there's kind of some confusion between the podcast and Axe brand deodorants. I get that a lot. And while I'd like to say that listening to the podcast will make you irresistible to women, everyone I've asked said that this isn't true, as demonstrated here. All I need you to say is that web accessibility experts get all the women.
No.
So there you have it. No luck for us. But, yeah, being a part of this podcast has been really great. I remember listening to the very first episode on Alt, stumbled across it on iTunes, and then later kind of randomly met Dennis when he wanted to start Refresh Detroit, so it's been an excellent opportunity, and I've learned a lot from it, and hopefully I've taught other people as well. I can definitely say it's made me smarter. Granted, that might not take too much, but hey, it's worth something. So, happy birthday, WebEx, and glad to be part of this great podcast.
Thank you, Ross. Yeah, I feel the same way. It's been great to be a part of this podcast, and we'll see where it goes in the future. Yeah, we'll have to set up a time for the next one, Ross. So, get back to me. Anyhow, hope you enjoyed the WebEx 2-year anniversary episode, and we'll catch you next time. Bye. The WebEx blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com. webaxe.blogspot.com. Email webaxe@webaxe@gmail.com. webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebEx is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.